This is Michael Edward Miller for WUTC. In this conversation, we're talking about a new novel set in Chattanooga, literary fiction, a story of three sisters dealing with their father's death and uncovering secrets about him and other relatives who've passed away. The sisters grow up in a large house on beautiful Missionary Ridge overlooking Chattanooga, and their extended family is part of the city's upper class, part of the wealthy elite. But the sisters feel shunned and struggle as adults, slowly learning why their family is fractured. Local readers will recognize many landmarks, the Walnut Street Bridge, Lamar's, the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga, and that's where the author teaches creative writing and humanities. Her name is Sybil Baker. We're talking about her novel, While You Were Gone. The story starts in the 1990s, and the sisters are doing something that I think a lot of people, including me, who graduated from high school in the 90s, were thinking, which is, I've got to get out of this town. There's nothing going on here. The only way I'm ever going to have an interesting or fulfilling life is to go somewhere else. And I don't know if that's true anymore for kids graduating from high school now, if they still feel that need to leave. But for you, I mean, you're not actually from here. Where did you pick up on this idea that that's something that people really used to think?
Well, I think, as you noted, I think a lot of people feel that it's just a rite of passage a lot of time where, you know, no matter what your town, especially if you're from a mid-sized or small town, you just got to get out and see more of the world. So I know even though I grew up in the Washington, D.C. area, I had a desire to leave that area and just see something else and live somewhere else. And the other reason I have that is the novel was loosely based on a Chekhov play called Three Sisters. And in that play, the sisters keep talking about how they want to get to, I think it's St. Petersburg or Moscow. And that's their dream, kind of like a New York City. And so I wanted to reflect that sentiment of that this idea that elsewhere might be better, at least in their minds.
And it gets at one of those classic ideas just about being human that, you know, going somewhere else isn't going to solve your problems. The problems are internal things, not a change of scenery.
That's true. And I also think, though, for the characters who did leave Chattanooga, sometimes the change of scenery, though, can help you see your problems differently or maybe provide different opportunities. So if you are in a small town that may not provide the same opportunities as a big city, then that can create issues as well. So, for example, the younger sister, Paige, she's in a band that's not country music. So, and this is the 90s. So, of course, they want to go to Seattle.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was probably a better choice for them at the time.
While You Were Gone begins in 1995, with the characters already looking ahead, yearning for a better future. Here's Sybil Baker reading the opening.
Because it's not too far to the Walnut Street Bridge, Shannon's cousin and prom date Jeremy insists on driving with the top down. Even though it's chilly for early May, Shannon doesn't stop him, nor does the girl sitting beside her in Jeremy's Mustang convertible. Julie, her name is. David's date. Of course Shannon knows. Julie's one of the popular girls, pretty in a way that is not extraordinary, but who in high school wants to be extraordinary? Julie's beauty, the thick shell of hair she'll cut after she marries 10 years from now, the long, gangly legs that will eventually thicken and soften, the pale, dewy face that will also succumb to early wrinkles, is at its peak. But Julie, Shannon thinks, at least has this. Shannon is not a beauty, nor will she ever be one, especially on this night, with the red chicken pox spots and scabs dotting her body as if she were some crazed, pointillist painting. She'll not even be almost pretty, the way her older sister Claire is, her features uniformly bland and non-confrontational, nor will she be striking, the way her younger sister Paige will be someday, though for now she just looks strange with her broad face and wide cheekbones. Shannon knows she will have to rely on other things, boring things like perseverance and commitment and ambition to get ahead, to maybe find love. But for now, there is no love, no success. There was just getting through one of these final awful moments that is high school, so she can start life over as the new improved Shannon when she begins college in the fall. She'd not even wanted to go to the senior prom, but Jeremy had talked her into it, said he'd make all of her friends jealous, and besides, he always wanted to go to a public school dance. Like being in a John Hughes movie, he said. He was darkly handsome, from one of the old Chattanooga families, and attended the city's most prestigious boys' school. A veritable Prince Charming, except for the being gay part, which most people didn't know about. She believed him when he told her he was doing this for her out of kindness and not pity, as her cousin and best friend for as far back as she can remember. He's her cousin on her mother's side, the side with inheritances and trust funds, the side that started forgetting her and her sisters after Jeremy's father had died 13 years ago, and their mother, his sister, had followed 3 years later. Now Shannon's father works a nice white-collar job as an engineer. She is graduating from a magnet public school and going to college. But this is not enough for Shannon, who envies Jeremy's world, envies what she might have had. Because he means well, she's agreed to let him take her to the prom. But then she contracted chickenpox, and even though she would no longer be contagious, she refused to go. Her face was puffy, her skin mottled and angry-looking. She would not endure the humiliation. But Jeremy would not have it and showed up one afternoon with a dress that she would have never bought for herself, even if she could have afforded it, even if her mother had been alive to choose one with her.
That was the opening of the novel While You Were Gone, read by Sybil Baker, the author. Here's more of our conversation. In the opening scene, so Shannon is going to prom with her cousin Jeremy, who is gay, and she knows that. And she's not totally sure why he decided to take her, because he's really insisting, you have to go to prom. You know, it's your prom. I'm taking you. I don't care that you don't want to go. And eventually she figures out that the real reason that he took her is because he wants to hook up with this other guy who's there. And that kind of sets the tone for the whole novel. It's people knowing somebody did something, made a decision, but then later on finding out, well, their motivations weren't what they said at the time necessarily. And that really seems to be a recurring theme in your fiction in general, people discovering hidden things about their families. What are you trying to say about families with these kind of plots that you write?
That's an excellent question. I think, and I've never really thought about that thread in my writing, but I think that that's a really good point. I guess I personally have felt that I've been always curious about my own family, and sometimes I'll hear vague stories. You know, I had a cousin who we were told committed suicide, but then later we heard that it may not have been a suicide, that it would have been the husband. And there's, you know, a lot of, you know, stories about the past with my family, and you can never really get at the truth if there is that. So I'm always curious about that, and I think that with families, we always want to see our family certain ways, and sometimes we see them, we might judge them more harshly than they deserve to be judged, or maybe we're seeing them with the rose-colored glasses. And usually there's something that's going to be in the middle. And I think as we get to learn more about our families and see them with their history and humanity, that there's going to be secrets. We're humans. We almost all carry some secrets.
If you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with Sybil Baker about her novel While You Were Gone. It references Chattanooga's history, including one of the darkest moments, how in 1906, an African-American man, Ed Johnson, was falsely accused of raping a white woman. The case went all the way to the United States Supreme Court, and the court issued a stay of execution, but a mob broke into the jail, dragged him to the Walnut Street Bridge, and lynched him. His final heartbreaking words before he was lynched, "God bless you all, I am an innocent man." Recently, there's been a documentary created about the lynching and a memorial planned. Ed Johnson's story is becoming more known, but
when I first started writing the novel, Ed Johnson was not so much being talked about as it is now. And so it's been great to see since I've written that, this push for a memorial, this movie, and that there's a lot more of a conversation about it. So I'm excited to see that.
And one of the main characters, Jeremy, he thinks at least that his like great-great-great-great-grandfather was one of the people responsible for the lynching. And so it gets into that idea of Chattanooga as a city where there are people who are struggling with the past, who are struggling with the social divisions that exist today, and why do they exist, and what am I culpable for?
Yes. And I think for me personally, that's an interesting question. As you pointed out, I'm not from Chattanooga. And so maybe to write about Chattanooga in the way I have is maybe was a bit courageous, but, you know, I have lived in the city for more than 10 years, so I'm fascinated by the city. And those questions that you're talking about with culpability and history and class division, again, I think Chattanooga is a microcosm of these issues that are all over our country. And so we look at this at home, and then we can look at it in a broader scale as well.
The novel begins in the mid-1990s. The climax actually happens the April 2011 storms, which I'm sure many people around here still remember how Yes. devastating those were. Why did you decide to make that kind of the end, the climax of the whole thing?
Again, when I was originally drafting the novel, I was loosely using the model of Chekhov's Three Sisters. And I'm trying to remember, but I think that novel ends with a fire, or either the third or fourth act has a cataclysmic event. So I thought, well, maybe it would be great for me to have some sort of natural event. And I started writing the novel in 2012. And I thought, well, this would be a great way to end it with that, just to kind of with the tornadoes, just to kind of echo a little bit of the Three Sisters. But then it also maybe seemed a good place to end things.
The character Shannon, she gets a job writing obituaries, and then she takes it in a very unexpected and personal direction. What does she do?
Yeah, she takes these obituaries and she just starts making up lives for them. And I think that that reflects her own place where she may be not happy with her life and she can't figure out why at the time. Surfacely, everything is going well. She's married. She has a steady job. There seems to be no reason, but she starts thinking about, because I think she's troubled under the surface of that, she starts thinking about, well, after writing these obituaries where it's just the facts, what is maybe, again, let's create some humanities for these characters. So she starts imagining the lives, though. And I think that's her own way of kind of coping with her own humanity and what's going beneath the surface for her, too.
Who are you hoping reads this? Who is the audience for this? Obviously, people who live here in Chattanooga, I think, are going to love it just based on the detail and the realism of the story. If you've lived here for a while, you're just going to go, wow. But for people who maybe don't, what kind of readers do you think are going to be drawn to this?
I hope readers who are interested in maybe the lives of women, they are the main characters, and how women mostly in their 20s and 30s are navigating the world and its changes. I hope people who are interested in learning more about these women and the town they live in and how that can get them to maybe think about where they live. And as you said, maybe have a little bit more complex, people that don't live in the South have a little bit more compassionate and complex understanding of what one Southern town is like, and that there's a lot of layers and, you know, layers to relationships and race and class as well. I wanted to show that the South, like the characters, is evolving and changing. And I'm even though I didn't grow up in Chattanooga, my whole family is Southern. And so, you know, we are evolving and hopefully we'll continue to become more compassionate and humane to everybody.
That was Sybil Baker talking about her new novel, While You Were Gone. The book launch takes place Friday, June 22nd at 6:30 in the evening at Starline Books. Baker is also participating in the Chattanooga Readers and Writers Fair on Saturday. She's one of the ones doing a reading at 11 a.m. Her website is sybilbaker.net. For WUTC, I'm Michael Edward Miller.